The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 6 degrees at Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Ashka Patel and here are the headlines today. Remembering a terrible anniversary, has Quebec solved the problem of the lack of doctors? The world meets in Montreal to discuss biodiversity. So for the first news, we are going to discuss the Polytechnic remembrance, which happened a few years ago. Today we remember the 14 women who were senselessly killed at Montreal's Eastcool Polytechnic. This year marks the 33rd anniversary of the mass shooting, which is one of the Quebec's deadliest acts of violence against women. Our reporter Sharma Jess Boudreau joins us live from the school to share more. So Sharma, how are the victims being remembered?
So the school is hosting many different events, as well as the city of Montreal. Earlier this morning, students gathered at a memorial plaque to place a commemorative wreath, as well as flowers. Right now, the Order of the White Rose, which is an association that was started in remembrance of the Polytechnic, is actually hosting a commemoration ceremony. And later this evening at Mount Royal, there will be 14 beams of light that will be shown into the sky to commemorate the memories of the victims. 14 beams for 14 women, and the beams will start going off at around 5:10 p.m. today, which is significant because 5:10 was when the first shots were taken at the school. I talked to a student named Sarah Mousy, who was talking about how today is a very heavy day, and she's remembering the memories of these women as she goes throughout her day.
Every person, a woman or man, has the right to study and to grow, and there is that this kind of feminism in our society. So I hope that we won't see this kind of crimes in the future.
What work still has to be done to address the issue of violence against women?
A lot of work still has to be done. In Montreal, we've seen that there has been an increase in the amount of femicides that have occurred. So there needs to be education, legislation, as well as government intervention in order to prevent these types of things from happening. I talked to Sophia Roy, who was the recipient of this year's scholarship from the Order of the White Rose, and she talks a little bit more about this.
Work to be done. I mean, I really think about these women in situations of violence and how we need to be more there to support them. There's a whole question too, like you mentioned, gun violence, but also shelters and just the education of the...
What action is the government taking against gun violence?
Yeah, so like as I said before, there's been a lot of violence in Montreal, especially at the hands of guns. The city of Montreal is looking to really lean on the SBPM to get the situation under control, as well as turning to the federal government to pass stronger legislations that ban access to assault rifles so that tragedies like this can be prevented in the future.
Thank you, Sharma. Racial bias has hit against the city of Montreal this morning. The time for 911 calls to the SPVM Montrealers often call 911 for suspicious behaviors. Most often, the target of the denunciation tends to be black men. Esther Moran talks with Fo Naomi, Executive Director of Center of Research Action of Race Relations. He says that a recent bill that is supposed to help solve the problem of racial profiling simply does not go far enough.
It's important to recognize the fact that a lot of this kind of reporting can be based on bias. and the color, skin color of the person being reported.
And what do you think about this law?
So certainly, if it's the same bill that will be introduced in the session of the National Assembly, then we would have to follow it closely to see exactly whether there are improvements or there are additions to the old bill that could make it more, shall we say, more effective in addressing the bias-based policing.
And do you think police need more, like the SPVM need more training?
Well, every police officer in this country needs more training because of the changing demographics, the changing social realities of our society, as well as the changing technologies, and of course certain new socioeconomic conditions that could be conducive to criminal activity.
And so how do we adapt these changes?
So it's not about training us on how to cope, how to deal, how to adapt to these changes, but also training us to how to police differently and more effectively without bloating the prison population. In other words, without channeling too many people into the prison system.
Thank you, Esther. That was our reporter, Esther Murad, speaking with For Naomi. This morning, around 8 a.m., a 12 or 13-year-old was hit by a car near Cavendish. The driver was a 64-year-old woman who said that she did not see the girl crossing the road. The girl was conscious while being transported to the hospital, and now the authorities say that she is out of danger. The road in Cavendish has been blocked and blocked on both the sides. The Federation of General Practitioners announced the Federation of General Practitioners announced that 380,000 people have been registered to a family doctor. Since last spring, Tatiana Mulave Pelletia has the story.
While this may seem like good news, some say that those numbers are deceiving. Those patients have not been assigned to an individual doctor, but rather to a clinic. Dr. Michael Callan explains why this is an issue.
But the patients, these 300 plus thousand, are still on the waiting list to find an individual doctor. They're unregistered patients with privileges. But there is no guarantee that these patients will be seen in the clinic where they're collectively registered. It's very deceiving. Clinics can only offer a certain number of slots.
While the Federation of Doctors is praising the registration campaign, thousands of people are still waiting to have access to family medicine. Without it, the urgent care is overcrowded with people trying to access healthcare. I spoke with Cassandra Gatula, who hasn't had family doctors for years.
This for, I'd say, about 7 years. It's more so like when I'm sick or I think I need to go see a doctor, it makes things more complicated.
The Federation of General Practitioners is expecting to have 500,000 people registered by March 31st. But those registrations are not the solution to our healthcare system problems. Tatiana Repeltier, For Congolian News.
An abandoned vehicle was caught on fire in St. Michael district of Montreal. The vehicle was abandoned in the opposite direction in middle of the street between Monday and Tuesday. The police were alerted around 1 a.m. this morning. No one was injured during the accident. The flames were put off quickly by the firefighters, but the vehicle had extensive damage. The fire was deemed suspicious in nature. This incident is now being investigated by the arson section of the Montreal Police Department. It might be more difficult to get to work next year. The Montreal Transit Company is facing a serious budgetary hold, which would result in service cuts in the upcoming year. And according to the City of Montreal, the government needs to put a lot more money into the system in order to fix the problem. Louis Brunehuk has been closely following the issue and is joining us in the studio. Louis, can anything be done to prevent the service cuts?
Well, there are multiple things that can be done, but some believe that the most logical is trusteeship, amongst others. That's where the province comes in and takes over because the city has failed to manage its resources. But even with this as a solution, political analyst Robert Frank believes that the financial future of the public transit system will depend on the citizens themselves.
Whether the province steps in or does not, it will ultimately be the taxpayers of the province of Quebec who will be holding the bag to pay for what is already a bankrupt transit system in a bankrupt city.
How will the service cuts affect citizens of Montreal?
Well, in one way, people might actually be helping the environment by taking more bikes to work. But on the other hand, taking Ubers or taxis instead of buses will not help with gas emissions. It's also a huge sacrifice financially, and many people have to account for more costs than they're used to, like parking or gas. About 200 Montreal Transit Company workers themselves could lose their jobs as well.
Louis, why has the government chosen now to respond?
Montreal has been imploring the government to take action for quite some time now. The government has publicly said they've done their part by providing financial emergency aid during the pandemic and by funding the La Fontaine tunnel construction, but the city of Montreal still isn't satisfied. Robert Frank says the province's economic motor and the taxpayers' happiness are the government's main motivations for speaking out.
That balance is going to be dramatically upset if the people in the far-flung regions which elected the CAQ government all of a sudden have to give up some of the subsidies that they get that Montreal pays for.
It's yet to be seen whether the province will come to some sort of resolution, but in the meantime, citizens need to prepare for another possible mode of transportation next year.
Thank you, Louise. That was Louis Bronhoek on the public transit service cut. As the biodiversity conference COP15 starts today, the 2022 climate action barometer published yesterday says that a majority of Quebecers are worried about the emergency of the climate crisis. Simon Floret has more.
According to the most recent edition of the Climate Action Barometer, concern about the climate crisis has never been higher than it is today in Quebec. Valériane Champagne-Saint-Arnaud, a member of the Groupe de Recherche sur la Communication Climatique, which publishes the barometer, said that they found 86% of Quebecers believe it is urgent to take action on the climate, a trend that has increased since last year. A new increasing trend is also a growing concern for biodiversity and nature in Quebec in particular. We notice that there is a growing concern for Quebec in general, whether it's for the people who live there or the nature that we appreciate and that we wish to protect. Quebecers are worried about it, so it can suppose that they are ready to take measures to act. A new change that has emerged this year is that there seems to be a saturation in individual efforts. Indeed, Quebecers are increasingly aware that individual efforts are not enough to address climate change, but that the fight requires collective changes. For Alex Tyrrell, leader of the Green Party of Quebec, these realizations are good news, but they must lead to systemic changes to stop global warming.
In order to make the kind of structural change that's going to make a considerable impact on climate change, well, the actions have to be systemic, they have to be widespread, they have to be around the whole world.
It's difficult to say if Quebec will make any significant shifts regarding climate change, because the Legault government has been criticized by activists for not taking the climate crisis seriously. This was Simon Fournet for Concordia News in NDG.
Following up on this COP15, representatives from 192 countries will be gathering to try to establish a plan to stop biodiversity loss. Russell Taylor obtained the opinions of two Montreal activists about the summit.
I spoke to two environmentalists and vegan activists today. Both of them are active in Montreal. The first activist was Sandra Gajdos. She's been involved with the Green Party of Quebec. The second activist was Clément Desrives. He's a PhD student at UQAM in forest ecology, so he knows a lot about biodiversity issues. And both of these activists said that it's important for the government to address the issue of animal agriculture, as it is a major contributor to biodiversity loss.
The government, they need to, stop funding animal agriculture and, stop giving subsidies to animal agriculture and invest more in, plant-based, products and plant-based farming and new, innovative products, then we would get somewhere.
So, yeah, the COP15, I think, is a very interesting event. I'm glad it's taking place in Montreal. From my background in science, I know that there are two big things that are threatening biodiversity. We have habitat loss and habitat degradation. And there are several causes of habitat loss that I think are not discussed enough, and one of them is animal agriculture. So in Quebec recently, the Ministry of Agriculture made a report stating that 80% of all cereal produced in the province are fed to animals. So there is a huge land use and so natural habitat loss because of that. And I think we don't talk about it enough in this kind of official discussion.
A 20-year-old man was shot in the parking lot of Adonis supermarket on Aristocrat Avenue in Laval. The incident took place around 6:30 last night. The young man was rushed to the hospital last night, and the authorities say he's out of danger. There was no arrest, but the police are investigating further on the story. A controversy about whether Parti Québécois member can sit in the National Assembly may be solved soon. They still refuse to pledge allegiance to the king, but a new law may need they don't have to. Our reporter Leila Ahuman is here in the studio to explain. Leila, why are they so optimistic?
Yes, Ashka, they're very optimistic because according to them, this is an emotional matter. And being in Quebec, nobody will support an oath to the king. So PQ leader Paul-Pierre Samandon was here with Gilles Arsenault from the Magdalen Islands. And they said that the federal law about removing the mandatory oath to the king should be a final decision. And they're absolutely not worried about being able to enter the Salon Bleu on Friday.
How will this play out? I don't know. What I know on the short term is that we can adopt that law in 24, 48 hours. We can start sitting at the Salon Bleu, and then it will depend on who thinks there's a real need to challenge and to restore the oath to the King of England in Quebec. It's going to be interesting.
Why is Plamondon again taking the oath?
He's against taking the oath because it says that it's a matter of colonization in Quebec. Although we are standing on stolen land, and he's been also reporting on saying other disrespectful things to non-Europeans, Plamondon did not highlight that, and he says that actually it's a clear action towards decolonization. He even said that other provinces will probably follow because overall in Canada, people do not think that place taking an oath to the king is relevant.
There's a scenario where if we get rid of that oath in Quebec, other provinces will take the same path, saying, indeed, it doesn't make sense. And there's this whole conversation about decolonization of everything. I mean, fundamentally, if your elected members of parliament are forced to take an oath to the king, like you're in the core of what is colonization.
What does the Liberal Party have to say?
The Liberal Party did not have to say much about this topic that they did not bring naturally into the discussion. Last week, and over the past few weeks over this debate, they said that they would suggest, however, a legal consultation with professionals that would be able to say if it's unconstitutional or not. But today, Marc Tanguay, leader of the Liberal Party, said actually that the party will unanimously follow the law, whatever it is, and that they accept the express way of not debating it at all. He did not want to say if there were personal people who disagreed, and he just insisted that overall the Liberal Party was up to anything that the federal government would say.
Last night were the British Fashion Awards. Two-time Emmy winner Christy Alley passed away, and there were some new concert world tours announced. Lucia Kesnett has all the latest art and entertainment news this morning.
You're right, Sam, that is pathetic. But I'm sure your date didn't have any lousy excuse like heart surgery.
As a matter of fact, she's very sick.
Sick of you? Yeah! I just don't believe this. And he seemed like such a nice chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
That was one amongst the many iconic lines delivered by Kirstie Alley, the American actress who played Rebecca Howe in the sitcom Cheers from 1987 to 1993. After a private battle with cancer, Kirstie passed away peacefully last night, shared her family on social media. She was 71 years old and left behind two children. The Royal Albert Hall in London was quite busy last night with the fashion industry's most important figures. The British Fashion Awards gathered the who's who of the fashion world. The crown for Model of the Year was awarded to 26-year-old supermodel Bella Hadid. Psychic spies from China try to steal your mind's elation. And little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotation. And if you want Los Angeles native rock band The Red Hot Chili Peppers announced yesterday a world tour for 2023, starting on March 29 in the BC Place Stadium in Vancouver. The band will travel around the United States and Europe during the summer. No Montreal dates have been included this far. Does the cold get in the way of you going out to a bar? What if the bar is made of ice? The Iverside Bar opens this Thursday for at least a month, depending on the weather. Partnering with Grey Goose and Cointreau, this igloo bar will be serving drinks on the rock, in a rock. Don't forget your jacket, you will need it inside too. The Place des Arts in Montreal's downtown Quartier des Spectacles will give the go this Friday to one of its most popular ballets, The Nutcracker. Presented by the Grand Ballet Company, this winter show has two daily performances scheduled from December 9th to 30th. This holiday season tradition has been a part of Montreal's cultural scene since 1964. Tickets are available for purchase online. And after the ballet, if you and your family still have some energy left, the new ice skating rink at the Place de l'Esplanade Tranquille, right beside the Place des Arts, opened last Saturday. There is no charge for the skating rink access, and skates can be rented on the spot. The rink is open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. from Sunday to Wednesday, and until 11 p.m. from Thursday to Saturday. That's it for your arts and entertainment news. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucia. A great leap forward for women's soccer. A big comeback for Tom Brady, and a wild night for the Montreal Canadiens. Here's Clément Léchat with all your sports news.
Pettersson knocked him down. Just gonna get away with it too. Pettersson attacking from the side. He scores!
This was a crazy night for the Habs in Vancouver, with the Canucks scoring the winning goal only 13 seconds into overtime. Montreal fought hard, but lost 7-6. The Habs were leading into the first intermission and even retook the lead 3 minutes before the end. But Vancouver equalized and then scored. Montreal is ranked 21st in the NHL. In international soccer news, the World Cup game between Morocco and Spain is ongoing in Doha, with no goal from either team. Spain is expected to win, but Morocco seems to resist quite well. In soccer news, but locally, CF Montreal's coach Wilfried Nancy will leave the club at the end of the season to join the Columbus Crew. The CF Montreal will receive financial compensation because Nancy will quit before the end of his contract.
And touchdown, Rashad White! Tie game with the extra point to come!
Tension was high when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did an impressive comeback, beating the New Orleans Saints 17-16 yesterday. Captain Tom Brady and his teammates managed to fill the 13 points deficit in only 5 minutes. It became Brady's NFL record 44th career fourth quarter comeback.
So Women's Pro League in Canada looks like what exactly?
We're going to have 8 teams to start, 4 in the East, 4 in the West.
This was national team soccer player Diana Matheson talking to Adrienne Arsenault on the National yesterday. She announced the creation of the first women's professional soccer league. It may be unbelievable, but Canadians won gold at the 2022 Tokyo Olympics, and yet, Canada is still one of the rare countries in the world top 30 without a women's soccer league. Kickoff is planned for the fall of 2025. The Vancouver Whitecaps and the Calgary Foothills have announced they are on board. And that's all for your news in sports today.
Thank you, Clément. Patriot and Solidarity of Montreal received a Canada Volunteering Award with a grant of $5,000 from the Ministry of Families, Children and Social Development under the Social Innovatory category. This award was granted to them for their work in recovering unsold foods from Montreal businesses and redirecting this for free amongst the people who needed it. Today, we will see cloudy weather with some light rains, with a high of 5 degrees Celsius and a low of 1 degree Celsius. The weather seems to get better by the midweek and mainly sunny on Thursday and Friday. Weekends does not seem to have much of sun, and mostly cloudy weather will be seen, with wind gusts going up to 32 kilometers per hour on Saturday. That's your news to 11:30. Thank you for listening. This is Ashka Patel from Concordia News.